God's Word Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled this morning's message, Justification. My text is found in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. And he, the Lord Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. These were self-righteous people. If you or I have any personal righteousness before God, we would be termed self-righteous. If all I have is a righteousness that comes from self, I will not enter heaven. Now, it's good to do the right things. We ought to pay our bills. We ought to be sexually chaste. We ought not talk bad about people. We ought not steal. We ought not kill. We ought not lie. We know these things. And before men, we ought to be moral. But self-righteousness is a state before God where you think you have some personal righteousness. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Anyone that is self-righteous will always find somebody that they believe themselves to be better than. They compare themselves with others, and that's where they get their high feelings of self. He says in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee. That means a separated one. He thought the things that he did separated him from other men. He thought he was better. And the other, a publican. Now, a publican was the lowest rung on the ladder of society. A Roman tax gatherer who cheated his brethren, took extra money from them when he collected the Roman taxes, and he was the most despised man alive at that time. A Pharisee, the top, and a publican, the bottom. Verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I think that's interesting. The Lord lets us know he wasn't really praying to God. He thought he was. But he wasn't. He was praying to himself. God didn't hear or accept this prayer. But hear what he said. God, I thank thee. That's a good thing to do. But he doesn't thank God for what he had done. He thanks God for his own good works. He said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I'm better than other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican. Now, let me say this. The things he said he didn't do, he was lying. He did do those things. If not literally, he did them in his heart. And that's the same thing before God. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And he was greatly guilty of these things that he said he didn't do. But he said, I thank you. I'm giving you the credit that I'm not like other men are. I'm a pretty good person. He says in verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He had a high opinion of his self-righteousness. Now the publican, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, he felt like he was so far away. He would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. He was so ashamed of himself, so filled with guilt and remorse over his sin. He would not so much lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, knowing that's where his real problem was, a bad heart, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. That word merciful is literally propitious. Be appeased through the sacrifice. All he could plead was the sacrifice of the coming Lamb of God. He knew there was no hope. He was just like Abel. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice to God than Cain. Cain offered his works. Abel offered the blood of the Lamb. And this poor publican knew the only way God could accept him and be propitious toward him is through the sacrifice. And that's what it means, to be appeased through the sacrifice. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Not merely forgiven, not merely pardoned, but justified. Now that word justified means not guilty. He has never done anything wrong, and he's always done that which was right. He's declared to be justified. And then the Lord says, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, the Lord makes this statement regarding this man. He went down to his house justified. By his own confession, he was a sinner, but he went down to his house justified, not merely forgiven, not merely pardoned, but justified. Now, how can that be? How can this man be a sinner and go down to his house justified, without guilt, without sin, having never done anything wrong, and always doing that which is right? Now, God uses the entire Bible to tell us how this can be. Now, this, what I'm talking about, is utterly unique to the gospel. This issue isn't even dealt with in other religions, how God can be just and justify someone who is unjust. How can that be fair? How can that be right? How can God do that? The Bible, and only the Bible, tells us how God can be just and yet justify the ungodly. Now, before we proceed, there's two things that must be established. First, this needs to be established in our hearts: by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. There's nothing that you can do to justify yourself. There's nothing you can do to make yourself justified. David said, Job said, if I justify myself, my own mouth will condemn me. David said, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. If any aspect of my salvation is dependent upon my works, I don't care if it's in the beginning with an act of my free will, I don't care if it's the middle, where I make myself more holy by the things that I do and less sinful by the things that I don't do, or at the end, if I earn a higher reward in heaven because of the things that I've done, if I put works anywhere in salvation, I make the whole thing of works, and I will not be saved. By the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, something else that must be established is this. Justification is what the judge declares you to be. It's not something the judge offers you. It's not up for your acceptance or rejection. The judge does not say, well, it's up to you. Do you want to be justified or do you want to be guilty? Why, that's never happened. You're only justified if the judge declares you to be without guilt. You never did anything wrong. You're not guilty of the crimes that have been laid to your charge. You are justified. You are without guilt. That's what justification means, and that's what the judge declares you to be. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is his work, and his work alone. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, there is one who justifies the ungodly. He who said, I will by no means Clear the guilty. Do you hear that? If you have guilt on you, He won't clear you. If I have guilt on me, He won't clear me. I'll be sent to hell. That's an act of God's justice. But yet the Bible speaks of to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Now, how can that be? If somebody really is ungodly, how can God be just and justify them? First, if you're justified, it has something to do with being in the Lord. Isaiah 45, 22 says, "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and glory." Now, if I'm in the Lord, that means I'm in Him. What do you mean by that? How can you be in Him? Well, this is mysterious, but it's what the Scripture teaches. "According as He hath chosen us in Him," the Scripture says. "He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And this is what Christian baptism signifies. When I'm confessing Christ in believer's baptism, baptism by immersion, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying here's the only hope I have of salvation. When He lived, I lived. When He kept the law, I did because I was in Him. When he died, I died because I was in Him. When He was punished for sin, I was punished for sin because I was in Him. When He was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead because I was in Him. When the Lord looked at John the Baptist and said, "I want you to baptize me," and he said, "I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me to be baptized?" He couldn't understand that. The Lord said, "Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." You see, when Christ fulfilled all righteousness, He did it as an us. He did it for all of those in Him. Is it any wonder Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now here's what I want. When God comes looking for me, I want Him to find me in the Lord Jesus Christ so that all God sees is His blessed Son. Justification has something to do with being in Him. Oh, that I might be found in Him. Justification has something to do with the grace of God. Romans 3:24 says, "Being justified freely by His grace." Justification is a gracious act of God. Grace is God giving you what you do not deserve or merit. That's what the grace of God is. Now, when it says being justified freely by His grace, it reads literally, having been justified freely by His grace. And that is in the passive tense. Freely, without a cause in us. Not God responding to something we do, but just giving us grace because He's gracious. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "He saved us and He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Now, justification is included in those things that were given the believer in Christ Jesus before the world began. Because it's gracious. It has nothing to do with our works. Romans 8:29 and 30 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified." These are all spoken of in the past tense. I was justified before the foundation of the world. Every believer has been justified eternally. Do I understand that? No. I can't understand eternity. Do I believe it? with all my heart. Everything God does is eternal. God's grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and every believer was justified by the grace of God. Now, how much of election has to do with grace? Well, it's all of grace. It's called the election of grace. Well, however much election has to do with grace, that's how much justification has to do with grace. It's all because of a gracious act of God. Now, we read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, and if you've got a King James Version, it'll read this way. If you've got another version, it won't read this way. And this is one of the reasons why I love the King James Version. It is the best translation. But listen to this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, did you notice that? We're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. The other versions say, by faith in Christ. But the King James says, by the faith of Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Justification comes because of the faith of Christ, His faithfulness, His obedience, His righteousness, His law-keeping, His faith. Somebody had to believe God perfectly, and He did. Somebody had to live before God perfectly, and He did. And we're justified by the faithfulness, by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. His perfect righteousness is given to me and justifies me. I'm justified by the faith of Christ. He never sinned, and that is my righteousness before God, the very faithfulness of Christ. Justified by the faith of Christ. And then we read in Romans 5, verse 9, of being justified by His blood. Now, why did He bleed and die? There's only one reason for death. Sin. The sins of God's elect became His sins. He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Romans 4, 24 and 25 says He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, the moment He died, all of the elect were justified. The reason His body never suffered decay is because He rendered to God complete satisfaction for all of the sins of all of His people. And they are now justified before God. His blood actually justified everybody He died for. He made it to where we don't have any sin. I'm justified by His life. His righteousness is my righteousness. I'm justified by His blood. His blood took away my guilt so that I have no guilt. I stand before God holy and unblameable and unreprovable because of His precious blood. When He said, "It is finished," every one of His people were justified. And we were justified by His precious blood. Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah 53, verse 11, "By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And then we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, of being justified by faith. Romans 4, 5 says, "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, does that mean that the act of faith justifies us? No, doesn't mean that at all. Faith doesn't justify me, Christ did. I'm not justified by my faith, I'm justified by what Christ did in my behalf, and I believe that. Well, what is faith? When we talk about justification by faith, well, listen to this verse of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith has something to do with that which we hope for, but what we do not see. Now I have a hope that on Judgment Day, I'm going to be justified. I'm going to be without guilt. I'm going to be without sin. I'm going to be without blame. God is going to look at me and say, come on in. You've served me perfectly. I have a hope that I'm going to hear that. But by what I see, I can't see that I'm without blame because I sin all the time. I mean, my very thoughts are sinful. In my experience, I can't see that I'm without blame. But by faith, I believe I am because I believe the gospel. That's the substance of things hoped for. I can't see my justification, but I hope for it. That's faith. I'm relying on what Christ did. I can't see my eternal union with Christ. I can't look at myself and say, yep, I've been eternally united to Christ. How do I know I am? I believe the gospel. I have never climbed up into heaven and seen my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've never seen it. I don't have a roll of the names of God's elect, but I know I'm one of the elect. How come? I believe the gospel. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's what justification by faith means. Doesn't mean your faith justified you. It means you believe that what Christ did is all that's needed to justify you. You're relying on that. And then in the book of James, beginning in James chapter 2 and verse 20, James says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Man's justified by his works. Now somebody says, that seems contradicting everything you've said up to this point. And I've heard people say, well, James was talking about something different than Paul. Paul was talking about justification before God, and James was talking about your faith justifying you before men so that it proves you really have it. Now, I want to say this carefully. I want my life, I want my works, I want my conduct to adorn the gospel. But it's also true that if I'm justified before God, I'm not real concerned about what men think of me. All I care about is what God thinks. I don't need the affirmation of man. His condemnation means nothing. That's not what James was talking about trying to justify your faith before men. Here's what he's talking about. He uses the example of Abraham. God promised Abraham would have a son and that the Messiah would come through that son. And God tells him to take that son that he had promised the Messiah would come through and to kill him, to offer him up as a burnt offering. You remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. And if Abraham would have said, I can't do that, then God's promise wouldn't come to pass. All he would prove is he didn't really believe God. But he really believed that if he killed his son, God would raise him back up from the dead because God promised the Messiah would come through that boy, and God never lies. It's his works that proved the reality of his faith. Now your works will prove your faith. Cain's works proved what he believed. He believed in salvation by works. When Abel brought that sacrificed lamb looking to the coming Lamb of God, he demonstrated by that he believed that the only way he could be saved is through the blood of the lamb. Your works will prove what you really believe. And then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, the Lord said, by your works, or by your words, you'll be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. What's that mean? Well, your words will prove what you really believe regarding justification. If you really believe in justification by being in Christ, your words will line up with that. And if your words deny that, your words will condemn you. If you really believe justification is by the grace of God, a gracious act of God, your words will line up with that. And if you don't believe it, it's going to come out in your speech. By your words, you'll be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. If you really believe that the blood of Christ actually washed away sin and made everybody he died for just before God, if you really believe that, it'll come out in your speech. And if you don't believe it, if you believe Jesus Christ can die for somebody and they wind up in hell anyway, that's going to come up in your speech. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. If you really believe that justification is by works, it'll come out in your words. And by that, your works will be consistent with the gospel. It'll prove you really believe what you say you believe. You see, by your words you'll be justified, and by what you say, the words that come out of your mouth, you will be condemned. If your words do not line up with what you confess to believe, you'll be condemned. If your words, the things you say, line up with what you say you believe, you'll be justified. Now think of this. Justification. That man went down to his house justified. By his own admission, he was guilty. But he went down to his house justified. How was he justified? He was justified by being in Christ. He was justified by the grace of God. He was justified by the faithfulness, the righteousness, the obedience, the life of Christ. He was justified by the blood of Christ. Christ's blood washed away his sins. He was justified by faith in Christ. His faith was the evidence that Christ had done something for him. That's what justification by faith means. Faith didn't die for my sins. Christ did. I believe that. Faith didn't justify me. Christ did. I believe that. His works proved he really believed what he said he did. You know, if you say you believe in justification by grace and go to a church where it's not taught, your works prove that you don't really believe what you say you do. If you go to a place where the gospel really is preached, you're saying by your works you really believe what you say you do. And your words, justification by words, your words will line up with what you say. Now this is what I want more than anything else, to be justified by God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that can condemn? It's Christ that died. That's the only answer we need. Oh, how I love this thing of justification. Being without guilt before God sets my heart free. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.